You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Joining me, none other than Mr. Happy himself today. The Gunner, what is up, man? Why are you so happy?
Because it was a relaxing weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, by the way.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. What did you get any nice presents?
Peace and quiet. The best cousin ever.
Peace and quiet. You didn't get a new
yep.
You didn't get a new drill or a new bench loader or anything like this?
No, I have that stuff, man.
Okay.
I don't need any new stuff.
So you don't really wait around for somebody else to buy you stuff, do you?
No, because they usually buy the wrong thing.
And therein lies the problem. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a hard person to please because I have a nice taste of fine equipment.
Very specific taste relative to that equipment too. Just so you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just so you know. So if you're planning to get Mike something, you might want to check with him.
Check with me first. I'll tell you exactly what to buy and where to buy it.
Serial numbers, the guy who needs to wait on you, blah, 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 blah.
And I'll even call ahead and put it on hold for you.
Because that's the kind of guy that I am, and I don't want you to waste your time or screw it up.
Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
I don't know, too. I've never heard that. I'll put it on hold for you. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, if you want to see my surprise face, like, oh, thanks, exactly what I wanted, you know,
then let me
know ahead of time.
Okay, here's a question for you. Are you good at hiding that face?
No. Yeah. I'll let you know. You know that, man. I'll let you know.
That's not good. That's
no.
not good.
What's been going on?
Today... Kind of interesting little show today. Found with the help of Kerry Cosentini, found a naval surface warfare officer to come on and just explain to everybody, you know, because all the bullshit that I saw over the weekend, that was just stupid about how a ship operates and blah, blah. And, you know, as you know, whenever we talk about stuff like this, we don't speculate into the cause of things, but we just try to explain, like, the situation. This is how a U.S. naval warship operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at sea, in shipping lanes, at night, you know, blah, 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 blah. So very cool. So a commander by the name of Josh Brooks, who just got out of the Navy, And so he came on to, you know, talk about all the different redundant systems, the radars in the CIC, the link to the bridge, the watches, the engineering watch, right? And all the other watches around the ship. And, you know, I saw one story that said there was probably six people, you know, awake on a ship of 300 at that hour. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Which is bullshit, yeah.
Right. The ship's got a lot of moving parts, and people operate it 24 hours a day. So, and then, you know, just talking about, you know, the damage control fight. Did you go to damage control school when you went through, sea school, right?
Yep. Yeah, we went to damage control thing, and you fight the fires, and it was really cool.
Yeah, learn how to shore stuff up. So you went to crew training in San Diego, and then sea school was right there, yes?
Yeah, our sea school, I didn't go to sea school. Sea school was kind of OJT. We were on the truck carrier.
Oh, really?
The Navy guys do it for you. Yeah, sea school was gone by the time
I
was on Marinette.
Yeah, they closed it down. What year did you go to see with on the Kitty Hawk?
1991.
Yeah, it was. It closed. I want to say I'd been on the Ranger for maybe 6 months when they closed down C School, and C School had an old and long tradition too. You came out of that thing, you knew how to spit shine.
Yeah, you knew how to swab a dick.
You knew how to do some stuff that happened with the Navy, and pretty interesting. But the Marines, one of the things that they enjoyed the most was going through damage control school, because they, as Mike just said, yeah, it was cool, fighting the fires and learning how to shore stuff up. But Mike, I mean, probably not a bigger nightmare than the hour that thing happens in the middle of the night. You go from sleeping to what just happened. Did something explode? You have water coming into the ship. You're trying to pull guys out of a compartment. That's two different compartments that are flooding. You're trying to set condition zebra, the watertight condition around the ship. You can't set condition zebra in those two compartments that hold 40 sailors each without getting everybody.
Right.
You can. Guys are going back in there to pull other guys out. You're pretty much a nightmare at night.
Yeah. And then that breathing apparatus thing they had was horrible.
Right. Oh, my God. Hopefully they didn't have to use that because, you weren't fighting. I don't, they may have been fighting fires. I don't know. But, and then the whole process of one thing that Josh Brooks said was, the damage, the hole might have been certain places, but there was probably other stress fractures and water coming in to other parts of the ship that they would have had to shore up. Talk about what does shore up mean in a damage control sense, Mike? What are you doing?
Using, back then we were using, blocks of wood pounded into open breaches, or used braces, to basically brace up stuff. If you couldn't turn the water off, you couldn't find the valve, you couldn't find something. It was just like a lot of, it looked totally medieval what you're doing.
Yeah, so it involved wood, metal, and then 4x4 beams and stuff like that to put pressure on it to try to stop water or at least slow it down so your bilge pumps could keep up with it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. No, the Marines just come back from that and they were like, sir, that was awesome. But no.
Yeah.
But doing it real world is pretty tough. So I followed that story a little bit over the course of the weekend, because like everybody, I think, who's seen it and who's spent any time at sea, you just scratch your head. That's not supposed to happen. There's too many redundant systems and, so.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious of, what would they say was cause to blame on that?
Yeah. And again, in fact, some of the things that I asked him, I was actually surprised. I said, is it routine for those things to be put on automatic pilot and nobody to be on the bridge? And he mm-hmm. said, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Which surprised me. Because I thought that happened on, probably more often than people would care to admit. But he said, no, I'm, and he's a SWO. I mean, he's a ship driver guy. So.
Right. I think when they're in close proximity like that, they have to operate manually.
Right. Right. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mike. And he said, in the history of the Navy, this happens, every 15 to 20 years. And he said, it's no single failure. It's a series of failures, from people sleeping on watch to maybe a mm-hmm. piece of equipment that didn't work properly, or maybe it was being maintained. But it's still hard, even to get hit the way that ship got hit. It's still nobody saw it. Nobody saw anything, So, and obviously nobody did. Just sad.
Unfortunately, the captain of that ship will probably lose his job.
Oh yeah, the Navy's pretty. The one thing the Navy is pretty quick about. That's pretty much in the Navy. That's the one question.
Lay and blame.
Yeah, that's the one.
Lay and blame.
That's the one question court martial. Were you in charge on this day at mm-hmm. this time? And that the answer is yes. That's all. We don't need anything else from you. You're done.
Yeah, no further questions. We rest, Your Honor.
Yeah, that's the way the court-martial works in the Navy. And it's, you know what? And, again, the Navy lacks about some things. They're not lax about ships getting jacked up or things like that. And,
yeah. $1.5 billion boat.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty amazing. You know, Mike. The other thing that you know, he kind of went through. You know, all the things that get communicated as a ship squawks. You know, in terms of you know one of the things you do out there. Is you process the surface plot, which is every radar track that comes on your radar. You know, you get the name of the ship, its destination, its speed, its direction.
Bearing.
Yeah, all that. You get all that. And then, you know, and then these AGs class, you know, destroyers and this one's an Arleigh Burke, but I mean, they're all the stuff that you see, digital, and electronic data links and all that with different, they have all that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. Yep. Pretty amazing. And not only.
Pretty sophisticated.
Yeah, tracking surface, subsurface, and air targets simultaneously. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I followed that story over the weekend. And then, you know, Father's Day, Colleen made me, she had her paw. Her handprints and then the dog's handprints, Jack's paw prints. We had to fingerprint him, and she baked something, then painted it. So, you know, gifts like that, which I'm a huge fan of. I'd rather get something made than something bought. And then talked with my other daughter, Catherine, who's up in North Dakota, a good friend of hers. One of her best friends died last week from a rare form of liver cancer. Went into hospice on Saturday and passed away on Monday. And so just keeping in touch with her, seeing how she's doing. And then chatted with my son floating around the Western Pacific, and then also with my oldest son in Quantico. So So, hey, question, have you ever played paintball?
Yeah.
Are you any good?
I mean, are you
any good at it? Are you a good paintballer?
No. Well, the guys I played against, they were all Navy guys. It was at a wedding bachelor party. But, no, I mean, paintball's, people always say, well, paintball's not tactics, guys. You know? It's spray and play, man. It's just run and spray, just fast as you can pull that trigger.
I've played one time. I got shot in the head, like in the top of the head from a guy in a tree.
Right.
And it knocked my cover off. And this is out kind of in the Temecula area at the time. And I went with my brother-in-law. I didn't really want to go. He's like, come on, man, it'll be fun. So I, okay. So I'm wearing, I think, a baseball hat or something. And this guy's in the tree, and he might be, 15 feet away from me? He shoots me, and it hits me in the top of the head. And it hurt, man. And I was like, ah.
Well, yeah.
And so it knocks my hat off. And I'm like, what? Where did that come from? What was it? And I'm looking around, and all of a sudden he starts yelling, and I look up, and he's got it pointed at my face, right?
Right.
And I didn't know that I was wearing, this might have been before the day that you wore like a face mask or something. And I said, dude, don't point that at my face. And he's yelling, are you out? Are you out? I'm like, don't point that at my face. And he pointed it at me, and kept pointing at me. How many strides do you think it took me up that tree to get to him?
Oh, I would have shot him out of the tree.
Took me 3 to get my hands on him. So I have him by like the scruff, like the neck of his shirt in the tree. And he's yelling, dude, be cool. Dude, be cool. Be cool. And I'm like cussing at him. I'm like, don't point guns at people's faces, man. What are you, stupid? Are you stupid? Yeah. Are you stupid? Answer me. Are you stupid? Then my brother-in-law was like, hey, man, it's all right, man. Cool out. I'm like, no, it's not all right. Dick? So.
No.
That was my
That's
one,
why I'm
one,
not
my
big,
one time.
I would never be a good paintballer. That would just piss me off, man.
I was not happy. I was not happy with that dude. So, anyway. So, yeah, my oldest son went paintballing. But he's a father for the second year in a row. He's got to, like be honored on Father's Day. So, so always cool. So did that over the weekend, did a little yard work. And then watched the Yankees get swept by the Oakland A's. That was not a good thing. And then watched a little bit of the Red Sox game last night. They had a little bit of a
tied them up. Yeah,
they had a little bit of an interesting situation there in Houston. And Houston's got a really good baseball team. But the Red Sox, what did they do? Did they split with them? Did they beat them 3 out of 4?
I want to say they split it. They may have. They played pretty good ball against the Rastros.
Yeah, Houston's good, young baseball team, man.
They're on fire.
Yeah, they're good. So interesting stuff. And then made dinner last night, a little barbecue chicken and rice and whatnot. So no, that was my weekend. So
that's good.
Yeah. So now and then I've got you in Montana, man. All of a sudden, you guys want to talk baseball.
Yeah, you call me a cockroach today.
I didn't call you a cockroach. What did I actually call you? A cock.
You said the cockroaches.
A cock.
No, I said that. I said I came back la cucaracha.
The cockroach. Yeah, these two guys. Oh, we don't want to talk baseball. It's really blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden we're tied. Oh, Mac, and it was like 20 seconds. I get the first text message 20 seconds after the Red Sox game ends. Hey, what are the standings? Like, yeah, I guess it's dark. The cockroaches are coming out. So. Yeah, no, and you wonder why this conversation gets like it does. Now, I hope you understand. I hope.
No, it wouldn't get like that if you didn't rub it in our face. Like I said, I'm not concerned right now. The season's not over with.
Oh, here we go.
And it's got some time left.
So why,
you know?
Why do you inquire on occasion when it suits you? Like, oh, hey, what's the score?
Well, because I know it pokes
you
in the wrist.
Okay.
It's the poke.
All right. As long as we're honest about that, I can respect it.
Yeah. I honestly like to just poke at you every once in a while.
All right. The, Mike, did you see that we shot, the other thing on the show today was, there's a guy, I don't know, do you know a guy named, he's an F-18 guy, his name's Joey Perrazzo.
Yeah. No.
He, Rudy introduced me to him, and I do explaining stuff, so talking about the F-18 against the SU-22. Which, evidently not much of a contest.
What? Well, of course an F-18 pilot's going to always say not much of a contest.
I guess it's like 50-year-old technology, man. From 81 technology, he said, "Yeah, you know, that guy doesn't have a chance. That pilot and
the
so,
Soviet guy,
yeah, the Syrian pilot, I guess, doesn't." He said, "Look, he doesn't have a chance. You know, they sent him out there to do that. We warn him off. You know how we do that kind of stuff." And then, you know, he said, "The cool thing now," he said, "with our current Secretary of Defense, and now, you know, delegating the appropriate authorities, we don't have to stand by and allow that stuff anymore." He said, you know, they got taught a lesson. If they want to do it again, he said, they can do it a few more times, but they don't have that many aircraft to be doing it. So, you know, he's screwed. And I said, so
yeah.
What about the Russians? Does the Russian, you know, anybody flying west of the Euphrates, anybody flying west of the Euphrates runs through Iraq, okay? right? And then into Syria. Flying west of the Euphrates is like flying everywhere around there. You're going to be now treated as an enemy aircraft. I said, does that worry you very much? He said,
what did he say?
He said, well, yeah, you know, it's of concern. He said, but if the Russians want to mess with the United States Navy and the United States Air Force in the skies, he said, that's not going to work out well for them. I said, well, I hope they do, because they need to be taught a lesson.
Right.
Oh, your boy Putin needs to have his pants pulled down. You're a Putin guy. I forget.
Okay. I never said I was a Putin guy. I just said you were talking bad about him. I said, no. When Obama was president, I said, in a world where there's no leader standing up, and one does, don't criticize his way of leadership. The guy's, he has his own interests. He's got his country, he's doing the best for his country. Can't blame a guy.
Now,
if we would have had a guy, we had a guy that would have been a little stronger.
Bug.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's an alpha male, man. The guy wrestles bears and alligators.
He plays hockey.
He plays hockey. I mean, what kind of guy you want him to be kind of on the bench and not really worrying about, it doesn't worry me, it doesn't bother me. A passive guy? No, he's not a passive guy. I like that. You know, if you're going to be a world leader, be a world leader.
Interesting. No, and so it's kind of, so it was kind of interesting to hear him talk about the way they would prosecute that kind of a target. And then the other thing he does is he has this group called Warrior Passion or Passion Warrior, and one of the things that they do is they kind of get guys back into adrenaline that might be struggling as a way to kind of jumpstart them back into life. Because, you know, there's a lot of dudes that like us, whether it be shooting or flying or parasailing he said there's a group called Team Infidel, which is a bunch of guys who built a dirt truck or something that races now. And, he said, you can follow me. He said, yeah, he said, it's our tribe, Mac. He said, but I got hooked up with them and then we got the financing for them. And, he said, so they're out racing now. And he said, it's pretty cool, but it's kind of getting back into, and he said, there's people with, ranges on ranches. He said, it's pretty cool to go out and to go shooting on their places and take, other veterans. And, he said, you know, and then kind of get them back involved in the tribe and see them smile, you know, after they just busted off a bunch of rounds. And I said, that's right.
Right.
That's because guns are fun. He said,
guns are fun.
Guns are fun. So, anyway. All right. Tell me something that I haven't asked you yet since I've been talking for about 30 minutes.
No, I can't think. I mean, I'm not turning the news on, so I ain't playing that game.
What?
No, it's raining here in Texas today. It's nice. So we got some rain today, so I'm happy about that.
So what about, are you, Montana man, he's paying attention. They split 2-2, two games apiece with Houston. What about, his dad's up in Montana.
Who's?
Schwartz's dad, Montana man's dad. Up supervising his ass in Montana. Well, you know, let me tell you, it's about time. That ranch, I think, needs a little adult supervision. Montana man may or may not be up to the task by virtue of some of the stories coming out of that place. So it's good to see his dad's up there. His dad's a lifelong Red Sox fan growing up in Massachusetts. I wondered how that happened because Montana man's not a Massachusetts guy. His dad goes to spring training each year. But the most important thing that his dad said, he understands why you don't like them based on how your dad got treated on the way out. My dad got screwed in Boston. And let me tell you the culprit. Roger Clemens, everybody now knows, is a liar, right, based on his perjury and his steroid use and all that. Well, nobody knew that at the time. Okay, and then the guy who legitimized his lies was Peter Gammons. And he smoked my dad. So, and I'll tell you what, it's a pretty shitty experience when, you know, what do you do when Peter Gammons decides to tee your dad up, right? The dean of baseball writers. And, you know, and it's all bullshit. And you know it's bullshit. And you just watch it and you're like, that sucks, man. That sucks. And there's nothing you can do because Peter Gammons always writes a column the next day. So anything you try to say, he'll go ahead and thump you the next day. So it sucked. Yeah. It sucked. And then all his little minions in Boston, oh, man, they were like little piranhas. Yeah. Anyway, hence my hate for the entire region.
For that whole area?
Everything that has to do with garbage strikes, let's prolong it. Don't negotiate. Let's just throw it out in the street, boys. Mass transit strike, shut it down. Everybody can walk. Okay? So I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan. I'm sorry. But you're not from there. You just like the Red Sox. Why do you like them again?
Ever since I was a little kid. Like you said, a little kid.
Like them?
I just like their fan base. I like the team. I like the energy. You know, and like you said, if you've ever been to Fenwick, and you can't, Mac, you can't deny this.
No, I won't.
You go to Fenway, and there's magic.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's just...
It's great.
It's a really great place to be.
No, I took my Patrick, who's my lieutenant son with 3-5, I took him and another kid who loved baseball. We went to Yankee Stadium and watched the Yankees play, and then we drove up and to Boston, and we watched the Red Sox play. And they were both like, this is awesome. This is Boston. And the thing around the stadium in Boston has changed. I mean, when my dad was there in 86, it was a nasty warehouse area, you know, blah, 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 blah. Bars out behind, you know, left field, Lansdowne Street. But they were pretty nasty. Now it's like Disneyland. It's the whole area has been developed into this crazy Red Sox experience. And it's awesome. It is. I mean, it is. It's all about the magic of Red Sox baseball, and there's a bunch of it. And then you go into that old, beautiful, beautiful stadium that they've continued to renovate and do things with. But it is old and tiny in places and very cool. And no, it is magical.
Yeah,
it is magical.
It is. It's to me. It's what baseball is all about when you enter there. I mean, and the experience that you have on the outside before you get in. I mean, it's just a fun place. And like I said, the fan base was always loyal no matter what. You know, dead last place. Man, that stadium was hard to get a seat in.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. And again, and what you, when you're there, and, you know, my dad with them, the hate for, especially with the Yankees, goes back. Like over 100 years, like they're still pissed off about the Babe Ruth trade, you know, and that happened, right? That happened in like 1918 or something like that. But you know, is anybody going to let that go? No, right? And so, you know, it's probably the greatest, you know, sports rivalry on the planet. The Yankees, Red Sox, it goes back forever and there's hate forever. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into like the latter part of the season and they're in first and second place, like hopefully will happen this year. You know what? We should meet and go, Mike.
We should go to
either Fenway or Yankee Stadium and go because there's so much hate in the building. It's awesome. The intensity is awesome.
Yeah.
It's like now. Michigan and Ohio State, now that Harbaugh is at Michigan, and, you know, they have a rivalry with two great coaches that's off the hook crazy. That's Yankees Red Sox when they're both good. So hopefully this year it'll be that way. But
yeah.
Anyway.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, you got to come to Texas, though, first.
Yeah, that's my first trip. And I'm a step closer to it, so. Email. Right. Drudge is linking reports that Russia is threatening to shoot down anything flying over Syria. Things are getting serious. Yeah, look, I don't. The Russians can bluster all they want. Okay, I don't know that they can. Look, if they unleash a surface-to-air missile at an American aircraft, do you know what's going to happen to all of their radar sites?
Yeah,
they're going away.
They'll be annihilated. Yep.
Yeah,
I think that's just bluff. It's just posturing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
If it's true to begin with,
right? That they said it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, like I said, I'm sick and tired of listening to shit and then people, oh, but the news is, shut up.
Gun question. Hey, Mac, I was listening to you and the gunner talk maybe a week ago, and he was talking about, I believe, the modular nature of weapons. I've seen stuff that looks like it comes out of Mad Max Thunderdome now in terms of stocks and the way that you can put things on those stocks and weapons that are commercial. Some of the military weapons look absolutely crazy. I'm curious whether he thinks this is a good way to go, bad way to go. Is he a traditional guy relative to wooden stocks or composite stocks? Some of the stuff looks really crazy in terms of the ability to adjust your shoulder relief, angles, your eye relief, his thoughts. Yeah, Mike, some of that stuff's like Mad Max stuff.
No, I mean, modularity is the way to go. You got to have a weapon system because, you know, I used to say, you know, in the Marine Corps, you have, if you just look at boots alone, shoe wear, there's hundreds of different sizes, wide, normal, extra wide, different shoes. I mean, different uniform sizes, small, medium, regular, large. I mean, all these different things, helmets, small, medium, large, extra small, extra large. I mean, there's so much modularity when it comes to our equipment, but then one gun fits all, which is absolutely ludicrous. So many different body shapes, body types. And that's what a lot of that is chasing today. I'm a big fan of modularity. You know, and then if you have one weapon system that can do multiple things. So for instance, one good weapon system modularity wise is, the G36 made by H&K. It's an assault rifle and you can snap in and out. Barrel links, magazines, you can have high capacity magazines, you can snap on close-in optics for close quarter battle, long range optics, suppressors, bipods, bayonets, M203s, different trigger groups for, you know, full automatic, single shot. I mean, there's so much stuff. You just, one system, whatever the mission is, you can reconfigure the gun, which is snapping in parts and taking off instead of having different guns. I mean, it takes up space, it takes money, it takes training. I mean, there's a whole thing that goes with it. But modularity, where you can adjust cheek rise, the length of pull, length on the gun by, you know, pulling out the stock even further. I mean, it's all goodness, man. I love it. More modular. And you'll see more and more modular weapon systems come into place. And you know, and here's a good example. That new phone that's out, have you seen that? Where you can snap on like a speaker on the back. You can snap on a projector. You can snap on like a Nokia, nice camera. So you got a phone and people will say, well, my phone does all of those right now. No, it doesn't. It doesn't do it well. It doesn't do one thing well enough. Yeah.
It fakes it.
So with these modular phones where you can add and subtract this kind of stuff, that's great. I mean, that's what you want to be. I mean, cars one day will be more modular, you know?
That's crazy.
No two people are exactly the same. So why have a weapon system that's exactly the same for everybody? I mean, it was just ludicrous. I mean, so we went to modularity. Modularity for the Marine Corps started with the Picatinny rails, you know, the rail system so you can snap on your optic, your light, your laser, your bipod,
we had a collapse or a folding stock that you can adjust the length of the gun for your shoulder. But there's so much more to do. You can change, you know, if they go with this, now they can change barrels. You know, you just snap it off, put a longer barrel on for different missions, put a short barrel on if you're going to be in a closed-in area. It's great.
Modular. It sounds like you're a fan.
Yeah, I was a big fan of it. I pushed for it every chance I got.
The
Buy guns that are modular.
Buy modular. We love it. All right. Anything else I need to ask you before where are you headed for lunch? Anything exciting going on today? Talk to me.
No, not today. Today probably selling raffle tickets. We're going to have what I've been doing is we put together two rifles that one's going to auction and one is going to, I'll send you pictures. Okay. One we're going to raffle off and we're going to auction off. But all the proceeds of this goes to a fallen officer foundation here in Hood County. We've lost two officers. The last one we lost was in 2013. Sergeant Lance McCrean was shot by a guy who was a sexual, predator kind of guy. Lance got the call, went out there, and the guy shot Lance in the back of the head. And then Deputy Larry Miller died in 92 in a car accident when he was responding to a call. He was T-boned by some people that weren't paying attention, and he lost his life in the line of duty there. So to commemorate kind of their service, their sacrifice, on July 7th in the state of Texas, the state legislators recognized July 7th as the Fallen Officers Day, that we remember. We take a moment of silence and remember on July 7th, all the officers, all the law enforcement that have given their lives in the line of duty here in the state of Texas. And it's July 7th just signifies because that was when the five Dallas police officers lost their lives, last year.
Right.
And it just became a bill. So we're going to hold a big, function here in Hood County. We're going to have one of the congressmen here in the state that actually was, instrumental in putting the bill forward. We're going to have some other people here talk about, you know, this, and then the sheriff, and then the widow of Lance. So when we auction the gun off, she'll present the gun in Lance's memory. And then, so I've been working on that, putting that together, building these guns for the auction. They're all done up. I'll send you pictures of them. They're beautiful.
Wow.
So we got this thin blue line concept of these guns. And, if you live in a state where you can own one of these, you can buy a raffle ticket through me. we'll ship it to you.
What kind of weapon is it?
It's a LaRue. It's a LaRue gun. So they're not cheap, and they are beautiful guns. They're AR-15
okay.
platform. So, but I'll send you a picture today. You'll look at it. Huh? And the base stands that we have the guns sit on are laser engraved as well. So the gun stands on the base stand, and you know, it's got like this one here is Sergeant Lance McLean, and on the left side it's got the sheriff patch of Hood County, his badge number, and then on the right side is Lance's badge. It says Sergeant and then his badge number 129. And then the gun has actually got that engraved in there. His badge is engraved on the gun. His end of watch, meaning the day he died, the end of watch for Lance, and then his name, Sergeant Lance A. McLean. And then Deputy Larry Miller's is the same way. We used a Texas oak for the stand.
Got to.
And, Texas oak, and then stained, and then put a lacquer over it, and they turned out really nice.
Nice.
But we got a big deal. I mean, it's going to be a big thing, and it's only going to hold, we're 160 people for dinner, and dinner gets you, you know, it's at Grump's Burgers, and it's got a wiffle ball pavilion. It's got a big wiffle ball stadium. It looks like the Green Monster, but short, and it's like a wiffle ball diamond. It's pretty cool. And you can go in there and play wiffle ball. We're going to have a band. We're going to have a bunch of things. We're actually going to have a bunch of guest speakers to come talk, and it'd be a good deal.
And proceeds?
So they're working on that.
Proceeds go to?
All the proceeds go to the Hood County Fallen Officers Benevolent Fund. So it supports officers that are severely injured in line of duty and their families, because just like us, you know, one of the things that, you know, when an officer gets seriously injured, people say, oh, you know, but it takes a while for insurance and things to kick in,
right,
for them to, you know, get through some of those initial hiccups they have. And police officers don't make a lot of money, you know. It's just like a young Marine. He's not making a lot of money. They're not living high on the hog. They're doing what they can. So what this fund does, it kind of offsets that cost, you know, for any kind of things that they need to get done, groceries, you know, to and from, gas for taking them to the hospital back and forth. Because until that insurance money for whatever agency kicks in and then starts supporting them, you know, there's it could be, you know, a month, it could be 2 months. Hell, when an officer passes away, again, you know, it takes a while for, you know, that widow to start receiving the funds of, you know, her husband.
Right.
And so
we've seen organizations like the Semper Fi Fund and a whole bunch of great philanthropic organizations in our experience. They step into the, kind of these gaps in support, you know, so that a family, you know, can, to me, they can have peace of mind that this is going to turn out okay. There's people here that are helping me. They're good people. And we know that, you know, laying at the ceiling, looking at the ceiling at night, wondering how the hell are we going to get through this as a family, is brutal. And they shouldn't have to worry about that. Right. In addition to everything else that you're going through. Right. So organizations like the one Mike's talking about. Awesome.
This fund that we work in, what we have here it relieves that burden of the financial side of it out. So we don't want them to worry about financial things. There's a lot more shit to worry about, you know,
right,
when your husband or your wife is severely injured or lost their life in the line of duty, you know, so. It's just another way to say thank you.
No, man. Good on you for doing it. So send me the picture. We'll throw it up, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, perfect. Okay.
All right, bud. Have a good day.
I will talk to you later, man. Yep,
you too. Have it. That is Michael Musselman. Go figure. More Bomber and Radio. No, not go figure. Shocked? Don't be. Awesome, guys. More Bomber and Radio coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military, for a first responder, for a hunter, for an outdoorsman, or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. Battlemug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level, how do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the GlobalSoft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The GlobalSoft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That'll do it on a Monday. Again, you know what? This is, to me, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this was that, you know, when this stuff happens around the world, whether it be, you know, what happened to the USS Fitzgerald, there's so many questions. And, like, admirals are great and all that. You know, we love them, as are generals. But, you know, what you really want to talk about is, you want to hear from guys who drive ships, you know? And then to let them explain stuff. This is how it works. And again, one of the things that, you know, All Marine Radio is a respectful show. We understand the nature of investigations, and they'll go where they may. But simply explaining, like, how does it work, you know? I think helps a lot of people. So hopefully, and I love it because they get listened to a lot. Pretty amazing when you put the stuff out on the internet, the number of people that yank it down and listen. And then the other thing is, air-to-air combat. You don't see it very often. And, you know, again, that poor Syrian pilot who was given that tasking order, you know. But I think it's about time that we started flexing our muscle in the region. And I don't mean just militarily. We need to have, you know, work with both Iraq, you know, and our partners in the region to bring these things to rapid and, you know, through force, either bring people to the negotiating table. And I think that's the intended effect of General Mattis's term, word annihilation. Okay? And I think what you're going to see is, in Afghanistan, we're sending more troops. Something has to be done with Pakistan, because those assholes sit across the border and do command and control. And they think they're going to do it again, without a doubt. So, I don't know what has to happen, but if you're going to bring it to a conclusion, Pakistan has to be a piece of it. And you can't accept no for an answer anymore. So, again, my thanks this morning, in order of appearance. And the interviews are already on the website. So, by all means, go ahead and check them out. But in order of appearance, Commander United States Navy, recently retired, Josh Brooks, for coming on and talking about what it is to operate an American warship at night. And you know, underway at sea, and everything that goes into it. If you miss that, then don't touch your dial. By all means, it's an awesome piece of audio, and you'll hear it immediately following this. And then after that, you'll hear Joey Perrazzo. And Joey is a great dude. He's the founder of Passion Warriors, an F-18 pilot. The Alpha model through the Delta model and a couple different variations in between, but talks about the aerial engagement between F-18 flying out of the Met off the bush, and SU-22, which is a 1980 vintage aircraft that the Iranians helped the Syrians refurbish. So interesting. No, to me, it's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this, because you find guys like that, you bring them on, and you can begin to make sense of whatever we're looking at, whatever happens. So very, very cool stuff. So, on a Monday, and as always, my thanks to Mike Musselman for coming on. As you can tell, Mike's an awesome guy, and what he's doing to help out in terms of gun making and raising money and supporting families of law enforcement officers. It's what we do, right? People who care, people who give a shit. It's not like they pull the ladder up and say, I'm out. So, the gunner, hopefully he's not listening, but he's an awesome dude. So on a Monday, we'll see you tomorrow. Allman Radio, out. This hour of Allmarine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled machine anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.